Today is Saturday, the 12th of November, and we are all gathered here for the 56th session on mindfulness for beginners in English. And I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Bante Hoamagama Dhamma Kusala Thero to today's program, representing Nisaranavane Forest Monastery, taking Bante's valuable time and commitment into the session today. And I would also like to welcome with much respect all the attendees attending through Zoom and through the FB Facebook live streaming over the Nisaranavane Satipasala Foundation's Facebook webpage. So our program will align starting off with in-session mindfulness practice, and then it will span into the question and answer session, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness after a slight briefing on how to start for a person initiating himself or herself in mindfulness practice. After that, which we will end the session for today's program. So I would like to invite Venerable Bante on behalf of all of us to commence with the in-session mindfulness practice for today's session. Over to Bante, much merits.
Hello, everybody. As the very first part of our program, we will take some time to do an in-session mindfulness practice. So today we will do a sitting session. Mindful sitting session we can do probably 10 to 15 minutes we will take for that session. Initially, let's make ourselves comfortable. Adjust your seat. Make sure that you have comfort in your sitting posture. If you feel like it, you can turn on video and join more actively. Once you have comfort in your sitting posture, close your eyes and be aware that you are sitting. Notice the things that appear in your field of awareness when you pay attention like this. Maybe initially you notice the surrounding sounds. Apart from the sounds, you feel your bodily sensations as well. Maybe the pressure on your back. How your feet is touching the ground. These sensations might be prominent. Some of you might feel how the breathing process is happening naturally. Maybe at your nostrils, maybe as a movement of your stomach or chest. Breath goes in, comes out after a while. Again, it goes in, comes out. time to time, thoughts may appear in your head. Various incidents, mental images might appear. Let these thoughts come and go naturally while you are aware that you are seated here in this moment. Sometimes you may feel sleepy. Sometimes pain might appear in your body. Still, you can be aware that you are seated here in this present moment. Allow these things to pass naturally while maintaining awareness about the sitting posture. Sounds come and go. Thoughts appear and disappear. Various bodily sensations might come. Among all these things, you know that you are seated. You know that you are breathing. Among all these things, you are calm and peaceful. Let's try to appreciate this peace for a while. now you can open your eyes again. So that's about 10 to 15 minutes of mindful sitting. This is just to give you an idea about the practice. Then you can practice on your own. Every day, try to reserve some time, 10 to 15 minutes, and try to do a mindful sitting session. That way, if you keep practicing, you will realize the proper benefits of this practice. Namantha, you can take over now.
Much thanks to Bhante and thank you. I felt very well focused during that time, even though I had some disturbances due to ongoing work on the session. Now I will invite for the session to be the Q&A session to be conducted by Sonali. Much merit, Sonali. Over to you. Thank you.
Asurai Bhante. Thank you, Namantha. We have received 4 reports today. So I will start with the first one. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion, adjusted the body into a balanced position. The body scan started from soles of feet up to top of head and back down to soles of feet again. Felt the tightness in some areas, relaxing. Noted the quietness of early morning when breath appeared. It was prominent. In breath colder, out breath warmer. Mind stayed with the breath for a short while. Many thoughts of past and future appeared, but no agitation felt. Perhaps because the mind had experienced the attention returning to breath naturally after thoughts or sounds or physical pain in many previous sitting practice sessions. There was confidence that after any such detour, that the mind will return to the sensations of breath again. Similar to the swing of the pendulum, the mind noted various thoughts emerging first, followed by sensations of the breath. Some storytelling happened in the thoughts, such as how much there was to organize for Dad's funeral next week, but much of the rest of the thoughts were considered simply as thoughts. After a while, the cooler and warmer sensations of in and out breath had reduced. My new breath was there, but now couldn't distinguish the subtle variations of breath anymore. When breath broke up, as has happened few times before, in longer sitting sessions, the mind noted this as there was no excitement or expectations. Felt like there were lots of mini breaths in what is generally considered one breath. Come out of the sitting session after an hour and usual aches and pains in the body were not so present. Mindfulness during the day. The worldly part of the mind was very active all through last week. So many people who found Dad's death a shock, indeed looking after, pacified, calmed down, found the humor in the situation, as usually the bereaved person is calmed down, pacified and looked after by others. But here the situation was the other way around. This was simply noted by the mind. One of the most difficult things since Dad's death 2 weeks ago was number of calls to answer and repeat the same event of the day again and again to many people. There are so many things to organize before Wednesday too. While the pressure of the various deadlines is piling up, the noticer part of the mind had better options to choose from in dealing with these, such as delegating some of the talks to others. Learned a lot about the human nature in the past few days too. While some people need looking after, the others who are practitioners become generous, thoughtful, and their kindness shone like the sunlight. Some organized meritorious acts in dad's memory more than once, or provided a listening ear when it was needed, even when they were extremely busy with Katina ceremonies and other life events. Currently, the immunity of the body is low. It is useful that the mind noted the first signs of it, such as headache, raised temperature, aches, pains, muscles, instead of charging ahead with various tasks and deadlines. There was enough wisdom in the mind to take a break from it all and lie in bed to support the recovery at least for a day or two. The calmer part of the mind also supported this decision. Dear Pante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to the organizers. End of report.
Okay, thank you for sharing your experience. As you can see, when you start your practice, it is quite difficult. Sometimes you don't even know how to be mindful among all these things. You feel like it's overwhelming. It's difficult to be mindful. So many thoughts are there. So many surrounding sounds are there. Even the breath you can't hold on to. So you come and complain. But our usual advice is to repeat this practice again and again. Don't take it as a burden. Instead, every day, 10 to 15 minutes, if you can spend as mindful sitting, probably towards the end of the day, if you can spend like 15 more minutes as mindful walking, that's the way. Initially, you feel like the practice is very difficult. Initially, you feel like you can't even focus on a single breath. Mind is running here and there. You can't even be mindful for a single breath. That's how you feel. What we usually recommend is repetitive practice. When you practice again and again, your confidence grows. That's what happens. Now in this report, that confidence is shown clearly. You can see now when the thoughts appear, you are confident that somehow with time, the attention will return to your breath. That confidence you have, so you allow mind to wander, you allow that process to happen, and naturally the mind come back to the breath. That happens again and again. Although it came back, it usually goes away again. Right? So this process is happening again and again. Once you have confidence, you can be aware about this whole process. You can allow this natural process to happen. It goes away, goes after various thoughts, images, incidents, storytelling, various things come. Naturally, it will return back to your breath. Every time you face these storytelling, every time you face these thoughts, the strength of them reduces a tiny bit. Every time you allow this process to happen while being mindful, they lose their energy. These thoughts, these emotions, these storytelling, they lose their energy. But you have to allow it to happen. So one time it comes. Again, after a while it comes. Again, after a while it comes. This way, if you allow it to happen again and again, you realize they lose their energy. Every time they come to our field of awareness, every time we observe them, we allow them to happen naturally, mindfully, they lose their energy. Tiny bit of energy lost every time. Okay. So with time, within few months, you realize these thoughts are there, but they don't have the power or the control that they used to have. The thoughts are there, the emotions are there, but they don't have the power, they don't have the control they used to have. That's the difference that will happen. Let it be anger, let it be lust, whatever it is, they don't have the control they used to have. They don't have the power they used to have. This is the process. So you have to allow it to come and go naturally, 1001 times. Every time you face them mindfully, they lose their energy. Tiny bit of energy lost every time. So that's what happens. The emotions are there, the thoughts are there, but they don't have the control. They don't have the power that they used to have. That's the difference. Then you can, you know, do whatever the things that you want to do. Let it be your work, let it be your family matters. You can attend to them with this power in your mind, with this practice in your mind. Sometimes you understand, now you are in a troubling situation, but you have to answer all these calls, answer all these questions. They come with, you know, very much compassion. They want to be kind, but in the process, they do something difficult. They keep asking the same question 101 times. They keep asking the same story 101 times. So in a way, if you are a practitioner, you allow people to be. That's the best thing you can do. You don't have to go after them, comforting them. You don't have to go after them, asking questions. Instead, let them be. That's the best thing you can do. But most of the people, they don't understand. They don't agree. Especially the world, they don't agree. They think that they are comforting you. They think that they are doing you a favor. But in the process, they ruin your peace in mind. Again and again, same question answered. Again and again, same story told. This is the world. So if you are alone, if you are distant from the world, then more and more peace you will have in your mind. You don't have to repeat the same story 101 times. You don't have to answer the same question 101 times. So in a way, it's much easier to tell directly, I'm tired of answering this question. Can we let it be? In a kind manner, you can say. That's the best thing that you can do. Otherwise, you get tired. You can tell, I'm tired of telling the story. Can we let it be? That direct expression helps sometimes. Initially, it is harsh. Initially, it feels like there's friction. But with time, they realize that you wanted to have peace in your mind. You wanted to finish with this incident. You wanted to let it go. That's the process. So in a way, sometimes you have to maintain certain boundaries. Otherwise, it's very difficult to deal with this world. It's very difficult to deal with the people. They don't know the boundary. They keep asking the same question. They keep asking about the same story. It is really troubling. So when you become a monk, you have an advantage, right? There are few zones, no? That very close one, the personal zone only. Nobody closer, no family members, no dear friends. So you have some space for you, right? So in a way, you have to create certain boundaries. You could be living a lay life, you could be living out in the world, but still, you can create some boundaries, tell them directly. It's troubling to answer the same question again and again. I know that you are trying to help, I know that you are trying to support, but it's tiring. That way, if you directly tell them, initially there might be some friction, but with time, they will understand. So that type of a boundary we have to maintain when we deal with the people. As you mentioned, you have to take care of yourself. Take a break from all this work. take a break from all the work matters, have some time for you, have some alone time, have some breaks. That way you have to work toward this. That way you have to gradually find peace in your mind. So these are the experiences. These are kind of like extreme experiences. When you face them, you realize, I have a strong practice. Even these type of situations I can face. Gradually, you will gain more and more strength. Gradually, you will find a proper balance. That's the repetitive practice. Again and again, we do. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we get discouraged, but tomorrow you get a whole new day. Again, you can try. Again, you can practice. Again, you can try to make it right. So that way, we are practicing again and again. We try to find peace in our mind. This is the way. The thoughts will be there. The emotions will be there. But they don't have the control. They don't have the power that they used to have. That's the difference that will happen. You can't get rid of the thoughts. You can't get rid of the emotions. Instead, you just get rid of the power or the control that they have. So this process, allow it to happen. And with time, you realize that they lose power. They lose energy. They lose control. These emotions, thoughts. That's the real peace that we are after. So good luck. Continue practicing.
Thank you, Bhante. That was good advice because not so long ago, it was very similar we have experienced very similar situations as well. Took me back to that time. So thank you for that advice. And we also wonder what to do when that happens to another person as well. And good advice to know what is the right thing to do. I'll move on to the next report. It's a short report. Mindful walking, 30 minutes of practice done the previous evening. Mindful sitting, 30 minutes the next morning. Sat in a relaxed posture, noted the expansion of the chest and abdomen with the in-breath and the contraction with the out-breath. Observed the in and out-breath arising and passing away at the nostrils. After a short time, even before the details of the breaths could be discerned while clouds appeared on the scene, I was observing the breath through the clouds. There were variable scenes, patches of colors among the clouds with a subtle mesmerizing glow. Initially, I found myself absorbed in the scene. Then realized I should be aware of the primary object, which is the breath. Breath was so subtle, I was drawn back to the scene again. End of 30 minutes with gratitude to organizers and Bhante. It's quite a short report, Bhante.
Okay, no, nothing about the walking practice, right? Just the sitting.
Nothing about the walking practice, but says they have done the practice.
Okay. Right. So this way of practice is good. Now you realize that these things appear. Clouds come, various colors come, various things are there, but you know what we are doing, right? You don't have to force it. You don't have to forcefully bring your attention back to the breath. Naturally, these things come and they take control. They take over the situation. That's fine. You allow it to happen. While knowing that your primary task is to observe the breath, right? Through the clouds, you can observe the breath. Through the breath, you can see the clouds, right? Through the colors, you can observe the breath. Through the breath, you see the colors. So various ways are there. You keep observing your primary object. Things come, they take control, they take over. But still, after a while, you can return back to your task. That very ability we are doing. If you try to do it forcefully, then that's not the way. Gradually you are doing, allowing these things to come and go, you are doing this type of a task. So the way you have practiced is good. You are not forcing it too much. You are not trying to take so much control. Instead, you allow the natural process to happen. This is the natural process. The clouds come, various colors come, various thoughts, mental images come. This is how it goes. You just have to be skillful to observe breath among these things, allowing them to pass naturally. You observe your breath. That is how we practice. That is how we practice. So your way of practice is good. What is lacking or what you need is repetitive practice. Again and again, you have to do this. This is just the initial phase. When you do it again and again, you realize these things lose their energy. Instead, the path opens. Your practice will start to grow. This is just the initial phase that we are facing, right? So try to practice again and again. The same way, the way you are practicing is good. Just repeat it. Just continue with it. And if you can present your walking experience as well, we appreciate that as well.
Thank you, Bhante. I will move on to the next report. Report 3, sitting meditation. Noted touch of air on insides of nostrils and on upper lip. Could feel change in temperature as in-breath was cold and out-breath was warmer. Thoughts arose and passed, sometimes with prompted by a sound and at other times by a memory. Some thoughts led to others before sensations of breath become more prominent. Practice continued in this way until the bell rang. Walking in daily life. Walking aloud along footpath, noting how pressure on feet shifted between left and right. Felt different sensations as foot stepped on bumps and ridges in paving stones. Noted sharp sensations on one sole on some steps. Continued to walk and noting movement of left and right legs and pressure arising and passing as foot was placed and lifted. Thoughts arose and awareness of feet was interrupted. Attention returning to feet after a while and continued walking with awareness of sensations in body until destination was reached. Looks like that's the end of the report, Bhante.
Okay, so let me focus on the daily activities part, being aware of walking while your day-to-day activities. So that's a very good way to practice this. Every day, probably we are walking few kilometers, right? When you go to work, even inside your workplace, when you come back home, inside your home. So few kilometers daily, we are walking. Usually we think, we plan things while walking. We have a destination in our mind, or we have a task in our mind. With this destination, with this task, we walk, right? But if you are a practitioner, you let go of this task and you try to be with the walking process. It is not easy because you are not in a retreat. You are in your daily life. So again and again, thoughts come and you lose the awareness of your feet. That's fine. That's fine. That is natural because you are among the work, you are among the family matters. It's natural that you lose attention, that you lose awareness, thoughts come and they take over. That's fine. Again, after a while, you remember. Again, you bring your attention to the feet or the bodily sensation. Again, it goes away. This repetitive effort is what we need. Again and again, you remind yourself. Instead of thinking, planning, you remind yourself, okay, I am walking, okay, I'm doing this task. That effort is important. Now, when you walk, maybe you are wearing shoes, maybe you are wearing slippers. Still, can you be mindful that you are placing your feet while placing it? Can you balance it properly on the ground? I'm not suggesting to control your walking. Instead, be mindful while you place your feet on the ground. That very attention is healing. That very attention is healing. Like you are confidently putting your feet on the ground. They have this analogy of a elephant feet of the elephant that falls onto the ground properly. There is no imbalances. Entire feet touching the ground. Right? Human feet is different. But when we are mindful, we can be aware that we are placing the feet. And when we have that awareness, we become more stable on the ground. That very effort is healing. That very effort is helpful. Especially if you are walking without shoes, then you can really feel this. How the feet is touching the ground. How that very sensation is healing. That very awareness is helping your practice as well as your health, bodily as well as mentally, how it is helping. If you don't have attention, then you have various illnesses. You have depression, you have various other problems because you don't have this very grounding, this very attention that you are walking while walking. So this is very easy. If you can place your feet while knowing that I am placing my feet, that's enough. That is enough. That is the very practice. Whatever you do, it becomes successful because you know that you are doing it. You are aware that you are doing it. You brush your teeth, it will last longer. You eat your meals, it will digest properly and you'll become healthier. You do your studies or something, you will remember it. You, whatever the task you do, right? You play sports, you will play it better. That's very essence of the practice. Whatever you do, if you can do with attention, then you become successful at it. So this is a very good start. While placing the feet, we know that we are placing. If you don't have shoes, you can clearly feel this. Probably if you are taking a morning walk, then you can clearly feel this, how I am touching the ground, how I am being aware of that sensation. Even with shoes, you can do. While walking to work, you can be aware that you are placing your feet. Let go of the thoughts, let go of the thinking mind. Just try to be aware again and again. Thoughts will come, they take over, but you keep your attention again and again. You keep maintain your effort. Try to be aware that you're walking. If you can have this practice in your daily life, then that very practice is enough, because a few kilometers every day you're walking. Although you are unaware, you're walking. Although you are unmindful, you're walking. That very walking process can be very much healing if you do it with attention. You need repetitive effort, like how the report is explaining. Again and again, you have to remind yourself. Again and again, thoughts come. They grab your attention. But again, you can remind, return to your feet. Some people, some of you might wonder, now I can't do the planning. I can't think about the various stuff that I have to do. But this planning or thinking won't do any good for you. You can plan for so much. Still, things will happen according to their own nature. We probably plan for like 80K years, 80,000 years we plan, but we live probably like maximum 8 years. So much planning going on. Even you can't remember what you are planning after a while. Even you can't remember within few days. So much of planning, so much of thinking going on in this mind. You are supposed to live 80 years, but you plan for 80,000 years. Let go of the planning. It won't do. Things won't happen according to the plans, right? You should know it by now, right? Things won't happen according to the plans. So let go of the planning. Allow the planning to happen in the background while you know that you are placing your feet. So through the planning, you see that you are placing your feet. Right? So that way, keep practicing. So this is a very good way. Every day, a few kilometers you are walking. Try to make it your practice. Try to pay attention to that. Try to be aware that you are placing your feet on the ground. As an elephant foot, how you are placing the feet on the ground. Have that very awareness. Have that very sensation. Feel it, feel that sensation. And you will become healthy just because of that. You can go and research on YouTube. They tell so many advantages about those grounding techniques. What are the grounding techniques? Just take off your shoes, walk barefoot, be aware. That's all. That's all they are recommending. Nothing more. Right? So this is the very practice that they found a tiny bit and they are explaining as grounding. But this is the very mindful practice. So if you can be aware about this walking process, that very practice will heal you. That very practice will resolve your problems, issues in life. Try it, keep practicing, and you can share your experience again.
Thank you, Bhante. Good advice for all of us. I will move on to the fourth report. Mindful sitting. Heard the melodies of the birds, felt the tightness of the matters and my lung muscles. As a few minutes passed, I felt the change in body temperature. Various thoughts came to my mind, but I kept focusing on the present. Focused on the feeling of breath. Breath was really thinned. Really thinned now. Within a few minutes, my mind became calm and became empty. Noticed a blue light coming from my forehead. It became like a TV screen now. Stayed peacefully for some time before the mind goes back to breath in and out again. Gave metta for the people in the thoughts, and with that noticed my thoughts fading away. Everything was blue. I felt as if I was floating. Then mindful walking. Felt the smoothness of the tiled floor. Marched up and down, keeping my mind on left and right foot. Continued this for a few minutes. A question to ask from Bhante. Is this my own mind that I see as a blue light? Please explain this further to me. With metta to all, end of report.
Okay, now here, although you know that you want to, or you should be observing your breath, so it appears like that you got carried away a little bit, right? So make sure whatever the things that come, don't get attached to them. That is the very defilements that are talking, right? If you get attached to those lights, colors, thoughts, then that's not the practice. Instead, among these things, just be aware that they are coming, passing. And again, you return your attention back to the breath. I'm not suggesting to do it forcefully, but you have to have that idea in your mind. you have to have that aim in your mind. If you go seeking after the things that appear in your field of awareness, if you go finding the reasoning behind them, then that's not the proper practice. Instead, we just let them come and go. You say it is what it is, and again you know that you are seated. It is what it is, again you know that you are walking. It is what it is, again you know that you are doing your daily activities. That is the very practice. Otherwise, if I go answering your questions about the things, then next week also there will be a few more questions. Next week, probably there will be a red light instead of blue, right? Then again, the same question arises. The last week it was blue, this week it's red. So what is happening? Right? That's not how we do it. Instead, we just tell us that it is what it is. Just move on and protect the next moment. If you keep thinking about it, then you lose the next moment as well. You are saving each and every moment with the practice of mindfulness. So things happen, mistakes happen, but if you keep thinking about them, then you are losing the next moment as well. The precious moment, again, you are using it, right? So that's why we say this is like a gatekeeper. The practice of mindfulness is like a gatekeeper. Somebody suddenly go through the gate, right? You can't catch that person. Then if the gatekeeper keep chasing after that person, then the entire gate is open, right? Whole bunch will go through. So you have to forget about the person that went through. Instead, keep protecting the gate, right? Again and again, mistakes happen. But again and again, you try to protect the present moment, the next moment. Next moment is precious. Every moment is precious. You can spoil it by thinking about the past. You can spoil it by questioning, doubting. That's not how we do. We are not encouraging that type of questioning or doubting. Instead, we say, it is what it is. Move on. Protect the next moment. Be aware about the next moment. So continue this way. When you continue, you realize one day it is blue, next day it is red, the day after it is green. Whole set of colors, the entire rainbow will come. Doesn't matter. We allow it to pass, right? Again and again, we allow it to pass. All the thoughts, past incidents, even you can't remember, right? Your childhood incidents, you can't remember. Incidents, thoughts, dark memories, they will come, right? We just allow it to pass. We are not going to find reasoning behind them. Various mental images will come. Probably some faces will appear. Some of them might be familiar, some of them totally strange, right? So you start questioning, okay, that should be our great-great-grandfather who passed away 100 years back. You are storytelling. Then unknown faces, when they appear, you question them. What are these faces? Are they from my past lives? Various things, various questions, right? But we say, it was what it was. Just move on. Just protect the next moment. That is the very practice. So that's what we are encouraging. It is natural that you get doubts. It is natural that you get questions. But again and again, you are advised to protect the next moment. The next moment is precious. We just have to make sure that you protect it. Right? So continue. And you can share your experience again. What I am recommending is that repetitive practice. You need it. Right, daily try to spend some time for the practice.
Thank you, Bhante. That's good advice for all of us. That is the end of all the reports. If anyone has questions, now it's time to ask them from Bhante. Please raise your Zoom hand and I'll let you unmute yourself and ask the question. Right, I can see one hand already. Hey, Mamali, would you like to unmute yourself and ask the question?
Yes, Bante, avasarai Bante. When I am having a good meditation, I have peace in my mind. So after meditation, if I go for a walk, still that peace is there. So is it okay to concentrate, observe that peace, or, and I like some advice on that, Bante. Now say, for example, if I prepare in a tea, that still that peace is there. Is it okay to think about it, Bante? That's my question. Thank you, Bante. And lightness is there. I can't hear you, Bante.
Yeah, your question creates more questions. When you say meditation, what is your meditation?
Some light, peace and lightness is there, Bante.
So that's your meditation. I'm asking, what is your meditation when you say meditation?
Yeah, that means anapana, breathing meditation, and it becomes subtle, and then the peace comes. That peace, I meant, Bante.
Okay, so breathing what? Breathing mindfulness or something else?
Mindfulness, Bante.
Okay, so then your answer should be, my practice is mindfulness, right?
Yes,
sitting.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Let it be day-to-day activities, right? So this is not just mistakes in one or two words. This is the very issue of the question you're asking, right? Because you are not clear in your head about the practice. So you have to make it clear. Yes, then all these questions will vanish. If you don't know the practice properly, then it is natural that you get these questions. So you have to define it properly, right? My meditation is mindfulness. Let it be sitting, let it be walking, let it be day-to-day activities. Sitting mindfulness, walking mindfulness, day-to-day mindfulness, right? So that should be clear very first. Then you say good meditation, bad meditation, something like that, right? So when it comes to mindfulness, there's no such thing as a good meditation. Right? So everything is good meditation. Whether there could be peace in your mind, whether your mind is all over the place, still the same meditation. Still the same meditation, because now your practice is mindfulness. When your practice is mindfulness, there's no such thing as good meditation or bad meditation. Instead, you can say that I have a calm mind after the practice. That's fine. That's your observation. One day you will come and say, now my mind is all over the place after the practice. Still, that's a good meditation session. Both are good, right? So we have to make sure that we know what the practice is. Usually, when you do breathing meditation, these questions arise because your meditation is breathing meditation. That's not what we do, right? Instead, you can say, you can redefine your meditation. My practice is mindfulness. I'm walking mindfully, I'm sitting mindfully, I'm doing day-to-day activities mindfully. Okay? When you redefine it, then it'll become much easier for you to practice. Sometimes after meditation, you feel your mind is at peace. Sometimes it is not so. Sometimes after meditation, you feel that your mind is all over the place. Still, we are continuing, we are meditating. Now, let's say, now as per our new definition, now your practice is mindfulness. Now, during your day-to-day activities, you are making a cup of tea. What can you do? How can you meditate? How to meditate while making or drinking a cup of tea?
Bhante, what I mean is that peace is there, lightness is there. Is it okay to concentrate, observe that, or to concentrate about preparing the tea? That's what I want to know.
Yes, so now what's your current activity? What is your current activity?
It's preparing a tea. It's just
preparing
it,
a cup of tea, right?
Yeah.
It should be your priority. If you are practicing mindfulness, then you are paying attention to the present moment. That's what I mentioned earlier as well. You are brushing your teeth. You pay attention to that and the teeth will last longer, right? You are eating your meals. You pay attention to that. You will digest it healthy and you will become healthy in your body, right? You wash your clothes. The clothes will be cleaner, right? So whatever the activity you do, you pay attention to that. That's very practice. Present moment, I am making a cup of tea, right? And you pay attention to that activity. Notice what are the things that you feel. Notice the sound of the kettle boiling. Notice the temperature of the kettle. Notice how the water is becoming tea colored after a while. Notice the temperature of the cup. Notice the smell. Notice the taste. Notice how you are swallowing. That very attention is what we are recommending. Otherwise, let's say you make your cup of tea while paying attention to the peace. What will happen?
Okay.
Instead of sugar, you will put salt. Right? So that's what will happen, right? So that's not the practice we are recommending.
Okay,
instead, you pay attention to the task that at hand. You are making cup of tea, right? So you have to pay attention to that. That is the very meditation. Then after making a cup of tea, you go and drink it. Then pay attention to that. That is the very meditation. After drinking a cup of tea, you go and do some activities. Maybe you are cleaning your house. Then that is your priority. Otherwise, if you keep observing the peace while making a cup of tea, or if you keep observing the peace while working at home, then that's not how it goes. You will make a lot of mistakes because your attention is somewhere else. That's what happens to us. We usually don't give attention, priority to the task at hand. Instead, we're thinking about something else. While
Bhante, sorry to ask this. Actually, Bhante, I'm having some lightness, like background. Some days. Some days, no. So even while walking, I want to clarify that, Bhante.
Yeah, let it be background, no? It could be light, it could be dark colored, it could be blue as the earlier person. We don't care. Instead, we pay attention to the task at hand. Usually what happens is that people don't like this simplicity. They want something magical. They want something mysterious. That's why they keep asking, what is the meditation? What is this color? What is this light? What is this darkness? You seek for something else. You don't like this simplicity. Right? That happens to Buddha as well. For 6 years, he had been chasing after something. After 6 years, after so much of suffering, he realized, I'm already enlightened. If I know that I'm making a cup of tea while making, if I know I'm drinking a cup of tea while drinking, that is the very enlightenment he's talking about. Instead of searching something, you accept this simplicity. That is the very practice we are after. Initially, it is difficult. Again and again, we want some magical thing. We want to go after these lights. We want to go after these dark backgrounds or light backgrounds. Various things are there. some people, they want to fly. Even the birds can do it, no? Crows, they fly, right? So those are not the things that we are after. Instead, if we simply pay attention to the task at hand, if we accept that simplicity, if we stop chasing after various things, that is the very peace that we are talking about. Even for Buddha, it took 6 years to identify that this is the very peace. I already had it when I left my palace, but I kept chasing. 6 years, 6 long years after he is saying, I have found it. I have found it. Now no more searching is there. No more chasing is there. I am calm and peaceful in this very moment. That is the practice that we are talking. That is the practice that we are recommending. So try to be aware about the task at hand. That's the idea I want to give.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu.
Thank you, Hemamali. Thank you, Bhante. Any question, it will benefit all of us. So please do raise your hands and ask the questions. I'm sure it answers some part of our question that we all have. So please raise your hand and I'll let you unmute yourself. I can't see any more hands. I might ask a question myself, Bhante. I was just wondering, with the, all these things that appear, do we actually get attached to them? And is that the attachment that we need to let go? In my meditation, I felt like I was almost expecting this, the light. So the next stage of that, I felt, was the lights. And I'm like, where is the lights? And I'm then finally see the lights. And I'm like, oh, I see the lights. And I want the lights. So is it an attachment that we appear to have for this, whatever the next image that we see? Is that what we need to let go? Do we expect it? Are we clinging on to that, is the question.
Yeah, so all these questions arise from that very attachment. Now, the lights. So we have this idea, if the lights come, it is good. So that some type of idea is there in the practice. If the lights come, it is good. So we are asking questions about the lights. So even person one day, he came to me and asked that there was this bright light and he wanted me to explain it. What was it? He's asking. So it was a night time and we had this CFL bulb, right? So I told him, close your eyes, look at that bulb. Then the same light will appear. Or even if you close your eyes and look at the sun, very bright, right? But you have to be careful not to get blinded by it, right? So these things, they come. Usually we get attached to them. They create questions and doubts. But the practitioner is recommended to pay attention to the moment, allow this thing to pass, right? But we make mistakes. We go after them. Your very question explains the issue. Right now you are looking for the light. Okay, where's the light? Where's the light? Where's the light? Here it comes. Then you have some other question, some other doubt. What is the next light? Or what is the next image? What is the next step? Various things are there. Various things are there. So this is the very desire. Even meditation, we go after various things. We want to attain Nibbana. No, we want to attain enlightenment. Right? So that's also desire. When you let go of that very thought, then you will attain Nibbana. Till that point, you can't do. You are sitting for the sake of sitting. Right? Not to attain Nibbana even. You can't get rid of desire with this desire. Right? Initially, it helps. To practice, to start your practice, it helps. But with time, you probably by learning it the hard way, right? You make 101 mistakes and you learn. When I go after lights, the lights won't come. when I go after other things, I'm not mindful. That very mistake, again and again, you are making, but you are learning. Every day you are learning a little bit. With that, when you practice for maybe months or years, then you realize I'm sitting for the sake of sitting. No expectations. I'm walking for the sake of walking. No expectations. I'm doing these daily tasks for the sake of doing them. No expectations. That is the very peace that we are talking. So the way to let go is repetitive practice. You have to, in a way, learn it the hard way. Right? You make mistakes. Again and again, you know, when I expect something, it won't come. When I expect something, that's not good for my meditation. That very learning will happen with repetitive practice. So in a way, it is natural for the newcomers to ask these type of questions, create these type of doubts, go after these type of things. But again and again, it is advised to continue with your mindfulness. Don't get attached to these things. Allow them to come and go naturally while you being aware. Yeah, while you being aware that you are walking, while you being aware that you are sitting or breathing. That very awareness will help you to grow your practice. The expectations won't do any good. Again and again, we have expectations. Again and again, due to them, we learn it the hard way. We make mistakes, we learn. Again, we do. Again, we make mistakes, we learn. So with time, you realize when I expect these things, it won't work. It won't work. That's not the practice. Instead, I'm continuing little by little, trying to be mindful among these things. So the time will teach you. That's what we have to say. Repetitive practice will teach you. Sometimes by making mistakes, we learn. No matter how I advise, again, when you go next time also, you will have the same expectation. You will have the same idea in your mind. But when you again and again practice, when you face it 401 times, you realize these expectations won't do any good. These questions won't do any good. These lights won't do any good. Then your mind naturally lets go. Right? It's a natural process. You can't really force it to let go. It is natural that it will create questions. It is natural that it will create doubts. But with time, when you identify your own mistakes, when you identify your own faults, with time, the mind will naturally let go.
Thank you, Bhante. I think we're taking a lot of time for the questions today as well. We've got one more question, if it can be really quick. Thank you, Panchani. Unmute yourself.
Hello, Bhante. Hello, Sonali. Can you hear me? Avasarai, Bhante. Very quickly, I will ask my question. It's regards to the sermon that you gave last week about giving and expectations during giving. But Bhante, when someone has turned their lives around, following your advice and following the practice, there is that urge to do whatever you can and give whatever you can towards the practice and towards Bhante's and towards the Venerable Sangha. Am I actually attaching there? Is that actually an attachment I'm creating when I should be letting go? But I have this urge to donate whatever I have, not keep anything anymore.
That's fine. If you feel like it, you can do. It's just a phase, right? It's like, you know, you get this, when you see the practice, when you see how it is helping you, when you see how it is creating peace in your mind, you are overwhelmed by faith. In a way, you see the practice, you get overwhelmed. You see the peace, you get overwhelmed. It is natural. It is a pace in the practice. It is natural, right? So even those poems from Rumi, he is using the term love, right? It's more similar to the faith that he's giving the idea. So instead of using the word faith, he's using the word love, right? So he's saying, you sacrifice everything and you expect nothing. That is the very faith, that is the very love that you have towards this practice, right? You sacrifice everything, you expect nothing. Usually, when we sacrifice for worldly things, we have much more expectations. We sacrifice a little and we expect a whole lot. But when it comes to the practice, we sacrifice as everything and you expect nothing. That very practice will lead you. That very quality will lead you. So various personalities are there, no? Various paths are also there, right? So some people, they like to inquire. They are more like wisdom-based, right? They inquire, they question, they doubt. That's wisdom-based, right? Some people, they are more like faith-based. They have love in their mind towards the practice, towards the Buddha, towards the Sangha. So they, with that love, with that faith, they let go everything. They let go everything. Both are valid. Both are valid. You can't really say this is the only way. That's not true. Some people, they drive through the wisdom. Some people, they drive through the faith or the love, right? So both are valid. If you can sacrifice everything for this faith, if you can expect nothing from it, then that's the very, very practice. That's the very piece that we are talking. You sacrifice everything for the practice. You expect nothing. If you can do that, if you have that quality, then your path is very short. Your path is very short. The inquiring people, they go a long route, right? Questioning, 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 doubting, doubting, doubting. But their faculty, faculties are different. Wisdom is their priority. Faculty of wisdom, they give priority to. Some people, they have the faculty of faith stronger. When they have it, the path is very short. The path is very short. Even those stories about the Buddha and his disciples, sometimes you can see just with a single word that that person attained peace or Nibbana because their faith is strong, right? When they hear that word, when they see that image of the Buddha, they can just simply let go everything. Right? So that's why even Rumi in his poems, he says, if you can sacrifice, you sacrifice everything, you expect nothing. That is the very love, that is the very faith that we have towards the practice. And if you can do it, then the path is very short. So just let it happen again and again, again, let it happen. Sometimes it changes. For a certain period, you are like faith-based, love-based. For a certain period, you are inquiring, wisdom-based. That's also could happen. For some people, the single faculty stronger. Wisdom faculty stronger. For some people, the faith faculty stronger. You have to allow it to mature with time. Don't come into conclusions. If you feel like doing something, do it. That's fine. If you feel like letting go, do it. That's fine. With time, you mature in the practice. With time, you realize this is my path. This is how I can proceed.
Sadhu Bhante.
Thank you, Panchani, for the question. And we will very quickly hand over back to Namantha because we are running out of time today. Thank you, Bhante.
All right. Thank you very much for and much thanks to Bhante for taking over a lot of questions and reports in the Q&A session today. Deeply appreciate what Bhante is committing to this session, and also thank you very much Sonali for doing an excellent job in a long lengthy Q&A. So we adapt the program as and when it requires for us to adapt. We will not have the talk for today's session to give a break to Bhante, but I will just go through the mindfulness for beginners guidelines so all can refresh, or any person who's new can learn from it. I will share the screen for that. One more thing, Bhante, it is all right to cancel the talk for today from Bhante.
That's fine, we had enough.
I just noticed that I didn't ask Bhante, so yeah. All right, I will share the screen. Okay, so you can see that there are 5 points described here. First is to watch the videos. Most of you might be aware of these, and then I have posted the links in the Zoom chat. The second is to allocate some time daily and stretch up to 1 to 2 hours of each session as you can. Third is write down your experience. And fourth, on the third point, the prominence should be given to bodily sensations rather than to the thoughts. If you are seeing lights, colors, if you are seeing strange sensations of relaxation, still, prominence is for the bodily sensations. Our program's teaching lineup is prioritizing bodily sensations on top of the other sensations. So that is what Bhante also described. I'm just reiterating what Bhante described so that you find it very clear. We do not prioritize light. We don't prioritize any other feeling here. We prioritize bodily sensations because in the method we advise, it is the bodily sensations that provide the most wisdom over the long term, not the thoughts. Thoughts are treated as a distraction. Even light is a thought eventually. So we don't go that path where we keep light like as a teacher or something like that. No, that's not the way in this session, in this technique. So you write down your what you experience, how you manage to bring back your focus into the bodily sensations. If it is mindful walking, contact of your physical body to the flow, or inside the body you can feel muscles turning on top of each other, you can feel internal muscular friction in your body, those things. And if it is mindful breathing, just the breath moving in and out, the abdomen rising and falling, those are the things we prioritize. So there were some good questions today, that's why I'm elaborating on these aspects. Number four is the way to send the reports, email or the Google form. Number five is to see the previous sessions. Also, this session will be uploaded to that. If you want to see the recordings again and again, you are most welcome to do that. So with that, our informative session on mindfulness comes to a closure today. I will stop sharing the screen. So to wrap up, I will make the thanking and expression of gratitude for today's program. I would like to share merits and thank the Bhante for participating in today's session, a long session for Bhante, perhaps very tiring for today's session, but for Bhante's commitment, we wish that these merits and this good work go on to improve Bhante's own practice, and that Bhante can participate in these sessions continuously. And also we would like to share merits and wish further improvement in practice for Bhante's own teacher, Most Venerable Bhante Homagama, Most Venerable Bhante Udayiregama Dhammajiva Mahatheru, and also all the Bhantes residing at Nissaranavane Forest Monastery. Also, I would like to mention that although I am the face person in front of the camera hosting the session, I am not the person who is most committed, most contributing to this program. It is someone else in the organizers. So I would like to thank all the organizers for their one-hearted commitment and for participating in these sessions, even just to make sure that the sessions run well. And also those who are not there today who are still committing very much to these sessions. Then I would also like to thank you who have attended. I share merits with you and hope that all these merits go on to improve your own mindfulness practices. Now, with that, I think we are running out of time. We'll try to keep to the time line. I would like to wish all of you a mindful and happy week ahead, and hope that you are able to participate in next week's session. And hope that you are able to deepen your practice, further your practice with these insights, and hopefully even listen again to the recordings. So with that, I will end the Zoom session now and hope and convey best wishes for you on practice. Thank you so much for participating today.